Well, you guys ready to get started?
Yeah.
Hi, folks. Welcome to a new episode of the BAMF Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and I'm a little bleary-eyed this morning as it's not quite 6 o'clock here in Colorado. Today we're going to be talking about a new game for Traveller, Double Spiral War, based on the novels by Warren C. Norwood. And as I just mentioned before we started recording, I've got the most geographically dispersed podcast ever. Mr. Luke Green, who was, I believe, writing what we call the fluff bits for this game, is based in Fukushima, Japan right now. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
And forgive my poor math, I went to public schools. What time is it now in Fukushima?
It is 9 p.m., and I also went to public schools, so don't worry about it.
I won't feel bad then. And then on the other side of the pond, we have Mr. Steph Worthington.
Steph, hi, Mike.
Hey, good to talk to you finally. Where exactly are you there in the U.K.?
I'm in a city called Chester, which straddles the border between England and Wales.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
And I, too, went to public school.
Well, I won't feel bad at all then. And for those of you who don't know, Steph's been doing map work for RPGs for several years now, and he also runs the RPG Brain Trust group on Facebook.
I do.
So glad to have you on board, Steph. And this particular game is being kickstarted right now, Double Spiral War for Traveller. We will put a link up on the show notes. It's being run by Battlefield Press, which is run by Jonathan Thompson, who was unable to join us as he is laid up with a cold or laryngitis or some such today. So, Mr. Jonathan, but we understand. So I tell you what, let's just jump into it. Can you give us a brief summary of the project, and we'll go from there?
Yes, the project is based off of three novels written by, let me get the name, it's Norwood.
Yeah, Warren C. Norwood, yeah.
Warren C. Norwood. It's a rather more hard sci-fi. The author tried to stay within known science theory at the time. And it's about a, it's called the Double Spiral War Trilogy. And it is very much inspired by the Pacific theater from World War II. The first novel's midway between. It is a rather interesting setting. So Jonathan, Battlefield Press, got the license to do it as a game. He originally hired me to retype all the novels into an electronic format so that you could sell them on Kindles and all that.
Can I just say, goddamn, I mean, holy shit, you retyped three novels?
Yeah, I took a couple of shortcuts using scanning stuff, but that required me to go through and fix a lot of graphical errors that came from the scanning.
Okay, so I'm going to guess that you're probably more intimately familiar with Warren C. Norwood's world right now than pretty much anyone else who's still alive.
Well, there's his widow, who Jonathan worked with fairly frequently, probably knows more and has access to the notes and everything. But I fairly know a fair amount, yeah.
Okay, well, cool. For our readers who might not know, could you, maybe compare and contrast, say, that setting with, Star Wars or Battlestar Galactica or Babylon 5, kind of, in terms of feel and hard science, that kind of thing?
I would go closer to Ender's Game, actually. At least to start, the speeds at which things travel are generally rather slow compared to a lot of other settings. Now, they can actually do the hyperspace and get across the galaxy fairly quickly, so when they get up to the higher speeds, they're going fairly fast. But there is at one point in the novel where they're talking about, where one side is talking about an enemy ship accelerated to faster than light speed in around 6 hours. And the immediate response was, that's about twice as fast as anything they had in acceleration. So, most of the fighting is between humans, so that's rather more Star Wars-ish, where the aliens are on the rebels' side, but mostly you see fighting between humans and humans. the aliens start getting involved throughout the thing, but they're not directly involved in the war. They're all neutral powers. None of the alien races are as have as many planets as either of the human interstellar groups. I'm sorry if I'm ranting directionlessly.
It's kind of like it feels to me from what you're describing,
yeah,
to be quite similar to tech-wise, maybe space above and beyond, but the setting seems very Mega Traveler Rebellion, where you've got different factions vying out, with the aliens pretty much being on the periphery.
Yeah. Space Above and Beyond sounds closer to what I'm thinking of. I only ever got a couple of episodes of that, but yeah, that seems close.
Oh, well, excellent. And so, Jonathan is writing the mechanics for the Traveler version, and I understand that you're doing the, as I said before, what sometimes called the fluffy bits.
Right. I'm trying to put a summary of all the world's history and draw out some of the stuff that the author left blank because it wasn't important to the story. Fill in a few of the holes so that players have a more expansive world to play in, and while still trying to stay true to the settings.
Okay, cool. Let's see, you guys are kickstarting right now. You've got a little over 2 days left, and it looks like, congratulations, you've actually met your goal already.
Yes. That happened a couple days ago, actually. That was...
Bravo.
Yeah, that is good news. All right, well, sweet. So folks can still check it out, and it looks like... I like how Jonathan's kind of streamlined his reward tiers these days. You got $5 just to help out, $10 is for a PDF, and $30 is for a physical copy.
Yeah.
So it keeps it nice and simple.
Yeah, that is pretty nice and simple. I ended up giving one of the $5 ones and asking for no reward just to help out.
Yeah, I do that a lot myself, just to try to kick in. So.
Yeah.
Well, hey, speaking of Traveler, Steph, you yourself are running a fanzine right now, aren't you?
I am. It's not the OTU. It's not Official Traveler Universe. It's 2300 AD. I did the star maps for the recent Mongoose edition. Mm-hmm. And it's called Colonial Times, and it's in its second issue. And it's about 64 pages long, and you can download it free. Both issues are free, non-commercial. Adventures, deck plans, things like that.
Okay, and that's the link is ct2300ad.blogspot.co.uk, and we'll have the
there's
link.
There's no at in it. It's a blogger, so it's ct2300ad.blogspot.co.uk.
Oh, I apologize. I'm going to fall back on that horribly early, and I haven't drank anything with caffeine in it yet. So excellent. So
get that caffeine, Mike.
it is my lifeblood. All right, so people interested in Traveler, that's good fanzine to check out. You're in your second issue, and you're looking for submissions, right?
Yeah, we're running it through the 2300 AD groups on Facebook and Google+, and we're lucky in the fact that most of the members are either Colin Dunn, the writer, or Ian Stead does some great deck plans, and he's done some Traveler work. So we've got a lot of creatives involved with Traveler, Charles Gannon, Timothy White, people like that who are pitching in. But as you can imagine, because it's all voluntary, because it's non-commercial, we still need submissions, adventures, articles, anything you like, as long as it fits into the O2300. So anything that fits in with that game or the setting, we're interested in, if it's fiction. Maybe not florid poetry. somebody could surprise me. I don't know. But we're open to anything. And one of our fans has opened up an Italian page, so I'm hoping to get him to transcribe it into Italian as well, so he can actually do it in different languages. One day when I've got the time, I might do it in Welsh, which will be good for just me. But other than that, we're always eager for fans and quite happy for people to download. And we do want submissions to see your work in print, if you're creative, is quite a good thing, and it's quite a good morale boost. I know that personally. So get involved and send us your stuff.
Okay, cool. And once again, that's ct2300ad.blogspot.co.uk. And you guys doing quarterly, or how frequently are you coming out?
It's quarterly at the moment. I call it a charming but irregular schedule. It was supposed to be every 4 months on the dot, but I got a bit excited, and I did the second issue within a month and a half. So, but yeah, it's quarterly. We've got summer and autumn are out. Winter should be out by December if we get the submissions. And I'm also, sorry to jump in on that, but I'm also starting an Arthurian one. King Arthur is my lifelong passion for players of Pendragon or Age of Arthur, called Dragons of Britain. And people can submit for that as well. We haven't got that out yet, though.
I'm kind of with you. King Arthur and Greek mythology were my comic books.
go ahead.
I used to spend, when I was young, I used to spend every other weekend in Mull Public Library, which has the biggest Arthur section in any public library. So I used to be poring through books all the time. Gildas, Nennius, Gerald of Wales, all the scholars and all the fantasists like Wace and Cretin, as well as Mallory. I used to go through all their books and as much research as I could. But I'm not interested in the plate mail Arthur, the Norman Arthur. I'm interested in the Bear of Britain, the Celtic warlord, rather than any high king. But yeah, it's a love of mine, really, King Arthur.
Interesting. I kind of wish Jason Tondero was a frequent panelist here on the podcast. Yeah. He's actually done a lot of writing with parallels between American superhero comics and King Arthur. So I kind of wish I'd invited Jason, but he's probably still snuggled up in his bed at this early hour.
Well, superheroes are pretty much an extension of the demigods and legends, Beowulf, Heracles.
Luke, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry. I thought we locked you there for a second. So
yeah, I was just saying the superhero comics is pretty much an extension of the Greek the old myths from all around the world, and King Arthur, Setsuna, the Heracles, Odysseus. So yeah, there's definitely everything in superhero comics seems to be an extension of that. It's modern day demigods.
Yeah, that's if Jason were here, he'd have something very intelligent and erudite to say about that. But yeah, he actually published a book without stat blocks or pictures in it. Which so I probably haven't read it myself. But Superheroes of the Roundtable, that was published last October. So he's an English professor on the East Coast, and that's his passion. So
that's another book I don't have. I'll have to look out for that.
Yeah. I think he also wrote. Oh, he contributed to King Arthur and Popular Culture, which came out, I want to say, in the last couple of years. So, wow, things got very academic here very quickly.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for Jonathan.
My fault.
Off topic.
It's an organic conversation. It happens.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Hey, quick question for you guys. I'm not a Traveler fan myself, and it's Warren Norwood's. Novel sound interesting, and if folks want, they can find those in RPG Now. I'm pretty sure under Drive Through Fiction, or just search for Devil Spiral War, and it'll come up. What science fiction do you guys like, in terms of novels or movies or whatever that you think captures the best feel of what you're looking for from the Traveler system?
For me, I use Traveler in their actual settings. I'm a bit of a canon person. 2300 AD, it's basically Avatar, Alien. The dirty, nasty sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
But in the terms of fiction I read, it's pretty much Philip K. Dick. That's pretty much it. Anything, or alternate histories I quite like as well. But from game-wise, I think when I play Traveller, I start out playing the Little Black Books, the official Traveller universe, but I always want to edge it to Hard Times. And I don't know if anybody's picked up that book, and you get that on Drive Through in RPG Now. It's kind of like the story of the collapse of the Third Imperium. It's very, very profound information in there, and a little prophetic to do with the collapse of banking systems and the trust in government and how people can starve very quickly. Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, cool. I'll try to, if you can find, oh wait, I found it. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So, Luke, how about you?
Well, as I said earlier, I've never actually played the Traveler system. I've always been more urban fantasy and fantasy, and sci-fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
For my sci-fi, my favorite would be Babylon 5 would be the show. For novels, Dragon Riders of Pern.
I should have read that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I'm always surprised it hasn't been adapted into some kind of a sci-fi miniseries or movie, but it...
Anne McCaffrey made things very difficult for that kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
that might have been smart on her part. I know the author of Earthsea was very unhappy with how her stuff was adapted, so...
Yep.
Maybe she had some foresight there. So, well, hey, guys, I hate to cut things short, I really do, but it's a bit early here, and I have to get the wee one off to daycare and shuffle into work. But, Luke, Steph, really appreciate you guys coming out to join me.
No problem. Happy to.
And, listeners, make sure to check out Double Spiral War. We'll have the link in the show notes. And Steph's fanzine, Colonial Times, we'll have that there as well.
It's a good series of novels. It's outside of my usual genre, but I enjoyed it thoroughly, even while I was working on it.
Well, that's good, because I have to tell you, I was when you told me you were hand-typing this stuff, now I know that you use scanning and OCR, and it doesn't seem quite as bad, but I was like, oh my god, that guy either a workhorse, or that's like Victorian drudgery he was going through there. But if you enjoyed the novels, it makes it seem a little bit less dire.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I read through the novels before I retyped them all, and I got through about 1.5 before I started doing the scanning thing. And I ended up having to go through, because the scanner put in a lot of error, so I ended up having to go through and fixing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's a bummer about OCR technology. It's still kind of faulty.
Yep.
Oh, hey, one last thing I should mention before we go off. I'm still running a... charity bundle for Colorado Flood Relief on RPG Now. I'll have that link on show notes as well. We just cracked $2,000 this morning. And
well done.
Oh, thank you. The need's still really great, especially with the government shutdown. A lot of the flood relief efforts have kind of been sidelined. Close to 2,000 houses destroyed, 19,000, I believe, damaged. So if you can help us out, it's almost $3,000 of giving PDFs for just $20. And... goes to a very good cause, Colorado Flood Relief, Red Cross. So please give that a look in the show notes as well. And I think that about covers it. Luke and Steph, thanks again. And to our listeners, thanks. And we'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.
Okay. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Hey, folks, don't turn off those headphones yet. We've got part two of this podcast coming up, in which we interview Jonathan Thompson, the head of Battlefield Press. He gives us some more insight into Double Spiral War. And it talks about his other upcoming licensed products. So hang on, here comes part two. Hey, folks, welcome again to the Banff Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. And as a follow up to our interview earlier with a couple of folks about Double Spiral War, we have Jonathan Thompson, who is the president of Battlefield Press Incorporated. And Jonathan, tell us a little bit about this project, the Kickstarter you guys are doing for Traveler for Double Spiral.
Well, it is based on the trilogy by Warren Norwood. He wrote it in the mid-80s. Growing up, it was something that I picked up and I loved, and it was always a goal for me to try to get it to develop it as a gaming universe.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. And what led you guys to look at Traveler as a system for this?
Well, Traveler is very popular, and it seems to cover all the right bases as far as the way the rules are presented and the whole space opera feel of the game versus the space opera feel of the novels. I thought it was a good match.
Okay, well, cool. And what kind of time frame? And you guys, congratulations, by the way, you have already funded, but you got about 48 hours left at this point, it looks like.
What kind of time frame do you have on getting the books out to the backers? Are they still in production, or what's the status there?
We are developing the material right now. We've been working on it the entire time the Kickstarter has been on, slaving before. We're trying to get all the rules set in place. The hope is, I think we have a May date for release, and we're going to try to get to pretty close to that as we can.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it looks like May 2014. So, okay. Well, that is really great. Are we playing any follow-ups, any adventures for the fort, or are we going to see how the core book does first?
Well, there are many thoughts to do alien books on every of all the aliens, and even setting one. I mean, not setting books. Well, on the aliens and the major powers, each are going to have their own book, mm-hmm. going more in detail about them.
Okay. Well, cool. Now, let's see. Can you tell us a little bit about? I know we. In our other call, we talked a little bit about the setting, but could you go more into detail? I understand the aliens are kind of peripheral. So most of the factions are Earth-based. Are they different nations or corporations? How does that work?
The basic background is that at the beginning, well, before the beginning of the novels, people from Earth travel to the Cavendish Galaxy, which is a double spiral galaxy, and escape being the horrors of Earth. After they arrived, they learned of trouble on Earth and finally lost all communication with Earth, developing in themselves a difference. So they're all Earth. The humans are all stock-based, you know, humans, but in the course of their history, they have done some genetic engineering, which have some become, you know, more long-lived. Some are, you know, smarter than others. There's also a group that seems to have developed as maybe as a slave race at one point, a slave form of human, but they're considered to be not as intelligent or as capable as other humans.
Okay. Now, if folks want to find out more about this, I understand you've got the Double Spiral War available for ebook purchase on RPG Now, right?
That's correct, and Amazon.
Oh, cool. Even better, so you can get it for your Kindle. Well, and, this, and also, I'm looking at RPG right now. It looks like you can get it in a hard copy if you want.
That's true. We are also, for everybody who backs this project, we are giving them a copy of the ebook for free as soon as we're running a new edit, trying to streamline some stuff. We found some mistakes in the novel, which looked like they were there originally from the editors from the 80s,
mm-hmm.
that we just kind of, as we were reading, they were going, ooh, well, we need to fix that. And so we're fixing that and should have a new e-version available relatively soon. But even if you bought an e-version, then, you know, the correction will be yours for free.
Okay. So if someone backs the game the next couple days, they don't just get the game for Traveler, they also get the ebook version of the novels, which is awesome. So, all right,
yeah,
cool.
There's seems to be a little or very little familiarity with him, which is kind of obscure even when he was writing. I think if you're going to be take a chance and back our game, then we should take a chance and give you a copy of the book so you know exactly what universe you're playing in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. So, all right, well, nifty. All right, like I said, you guys are already 125 over goal, and it looks like you've kind of gotten it down to a fine science here. We've got kind of a stripped down, just three backer levels, $30 for a physical copy, $10 for a PDF, and $5 just folks who want to support, you know, at a minimal level. Are we thinking about any kind of stretch goals as we close in towards the end, or are we just kind of staying focused on the core product?
We're trying to stay focused on the core product, and, you know, I figure that the giving of the ebook probably was an automatic built-in stretch goal, so if the product succeeds, everybody who backs gets that.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely a really cool incentive.
You know, and we'll probably, everybody who has backed this, when we do new novels, I will send out a coupon code for a discount on purchase of the ebook for new material that's coming out. I don't know if it was mentioned earlier, but Luke Green is currently writing the next novel in the series.
Oh no! I had Luke on earlier this morning. He didn't mention that. He said he was doing the fluff for the RPG, and that he had I guess he scanned and helped type in by hand the other novels, but I didn't know he was doing sequels.
Yes, he was. I picked him to do sequels since his, by helping me do the other material, he became immensely familiar with it. You know, he's probably the only other person that is familiar with it as I am. And I thought, you know, our license allows us to create new material in the universe. And so I thought what would be best, you know, would be to create, well, new material in form of a new novel that will later be turned into a game supplemental material.
Okay. Well, cool. That's. I look forward to seeing that. Do we have any kind of ETA on the novels for the next sequel?
No, just whenever he gets finished.
Okay. Well, that's the best way to do it, yeah.
Yeah. So when he gets through, I have to read it, to approve it, and then I have to send it on to our licensor who has to approve it. And then, you know, we get to release it. You know, dealing with a licensor makes things, you know, doubly difficult, as a lot of people are aware.
Oh, yeah, you got to get licensor approval, and there's a whole other level of politics there, yeah. Well, cool. Well, it sounds like you guys are getting very comfortable handling licensed properties, though. This is you looking at doing more in the future?
Licensed properties? We've done a couple in the past. Plus, you know, next year we hope to release Terran Trade Authority based on the books from Stuart Cowley from the 70s. We have a license for that.
I got one of those for Christmas, 1979, actually.
Yeah, so we have the license for that. We're doing the new edition of Fate version of 1632, as long as we get our licensing approval on that one as well.
1632?
Right, from the novels from Eric Plant.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, cool. What system is that going to be for?
It'll be Fate.
Oh, you said that. I'm sorry. I had a little static on my end, so... Cool, cool. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out for Fate these days. Seems like it's almost like a Fate mini-boom.
Well, yeah, and for this particular thing, we're trying to rope in new gamers, non-gamers who are familiar with the setting.
Mm-hmm.
And Fate seems to be the easiest approach that we can say, okay, here, you can just make a character and go based on what your concept is.
Okay, yeah, it's a more of a narrative system like that. It's easier to get up and go. So, all right, 1632 by Eric Flint. Oh, that's alternate history.
It is also alternate history. We seem to be dug into the alternate history genre, as well as some, you know, science fiction.
Okay. Well, I hadn't heard of this before. This is kind of cool. So this is just reading from Wikipedia. The premise is a small American town of 3,000 quote-unquote hillbillies sent back April 1631 in an alternate Holy Roman Empire during the 30 Years' War. Well, that sounds like fun. Is that a whole series or just the one book?
It's a whole series. The next book after 1633, and there's three books taking place in 1634, and I think we're on 1636 now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll have to check that out. That sounds like fun. That's actually the kind of game I'd like to play in, is like a kind of modern juxtaposition, back into a medieval.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's more of a Renaissance setting, but yeah. Well, cool.
Yeah, well, Eric and I are going to be at ContraFlow 3 in New Orleans this coming weekend.
Okay, what was that con name again? Sorry.
ContraFlow.
Okay. Can you drop me a link after we get off the call so I can make sure to mention it in the show notes?
I will.
All right, cool, cool. And you guys will be talking up these projects for anyone who cares to stop by?
Pretty much.
All right, cool, cool. All right, well, anything
I'm
else? Go ahead.
Well, I'm always willing to talk about anything you may want to talk about, so it doesn't have to be gaming related. If you want to just stop by and, you know, talk about anything, you know, I'm kind of a nerd that way.
All right, well, cool. So So come see Jonathan Thompson. Any questions you have about science fiction, fantasy, relationship problems, Jonathan's your man. Can help you out.
I wouldn't go so far on that one, but
yeah. Yeah, me too. Well, anything else you want to cover before we call it a podcast?
No, I think we're good.
All right, well, I'll get this up and send you a link as soon as it goes live. And to our listeners, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.